G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
Psalm 103, verse 1. Give me an oi if you're there. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I want to finish what I started last week. We started talking last week about the essentials of healing. And I guess the idea behind it is if I had to compact into a couple of messages what was absolutely essential for us to understand and know regarding healing, what would I share? And so that's what I started last week, and I want to go over some of that stuff and then finish it off today. Let me say, reinforce some of the stuff that I said last week. One message will not cover, or two messages will not cover, everything about healing. You'd never stop learning. You know, you're always progressing. You're always developing. This is not, you know, it's not... I remember even when Joy wasn't well, you know, and we were thinking, okay, we've got to learn how to, you know, sort of... It's funny, hey, you think you kind of know things, but when your back's really to the wall, you realize, I don't know that much. You know, and I remember back then when she was really getting quite ill, we're thinking, okay, we need to really learn how this works. We need to relearn this and make sure that we've got this right. And I was trying to find that one message or those two messages. And guess what? I didn't find the one or two messages, because there's just, it's constantly, you're constantly learning and constantly developing. But I guess I'm going to try to compact from last week and this week some of the absolute essentials, same. So I want you to understand that the one or two messages is really just a kickstart and to understand these are some certain things that really need to be in place. But if you keep seeking God in this area, you will hear other messages and God will give you revelation. Hey, that he will build on it and you'll grow on it. And, you know, most of the time, we're not having to learn new things, you know. We're really needing to be reminded of old things that we're letting go. You ever find that spiritual things are the easiest to forget? Hey, it's so easy to forget some of the essential spiritual things. It's just, you know, it's funny how we can remember so many other things, and yet some of the things that God's speaking to us, and a lot of that has to do with how much you value what God's saying to you. And so I would encourage you, value it. Meditate on it, make it a priority, and it'll grow. Hey, you know, you think about an elite athlete. Why do they continue to train? You know, I mean, Joy was an elite athlete. She was a swimmer when she was younger. She was, you know, at the national level, certainly, doing extremely well. So why train? I mean, she was really a good swimmer. Why do you train? Why does any elite athlete train, you know? Why do boxers train? Why do runners train? Why do they continue to train? They're not really learning that many new things. They're just relearning the old things. They're keeping the basics. They're keeping that as the foundation. They're having to go through it. I remember talking to this one boxer. I mean, Tim, you'd probably be able to confirm. And just about some of the way they train, and they slow it down and they don't even hit hard. Like this one guy was telling me how when he hits the bag, he just hits it soft, but he's practicing the movements. He's practicing those basic movements rather than trying to learn some new amazing technique. I mean, there will be new things that you'll learn as you grow and develop, but much of life is keeping in mind those basic foundations and allowing God to really establish those. Hey, I would encourage you, don't wait until things get difficult for you to learn about healing. Be a student of it right now and a practitioner. Don't just be a student, be a student, but be a practitioner of healing as well. Look for opportunities to minister that to yourself and to others around you. You know, there's so many Christians who are so timid about wanting to minister healing to someone else, and they're always thinking about, well, you know, what if nothing happens? What if they don't get healed? But what if something does? And how are you going to learn if you don't start doing it? I remember talking to Rory Jensen one time, and she was really hungry about learning about the move of God and revival, and she wrote to these guys who were spearheading a massive move of God in South America, and she asked if she could come and just hang out with them and just see them do stuff, and they wrote back and they said, yes, come, you know, and so she came. And when she landed and she was taken to the house of this one particular guy who was spearheading it, he gave her a sheet of paper and she said, what's this? And he said, this is your itinerary for the next 3 weeks that you're here. You'll be speaking here, 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 here. And just her whole 3 weeks there was covered every day she was preaching. And she said, oh, hang on a minute. No. You don't understand. I didn't come here to preach. I came here to learn. And he looked at her and he said, but Rory, how are you going to learn if you don't do it? You know, we live in this Western world where we think we've got to stop everything and just learn. But that's not how Jesus taught his disciples. They came with him. They watched him do it, and then he got them to do it as well. Learn on the job. Be a student of healing, but be a practitioner of healing as well. Don't wait till your back's to the wall, or don't wait till the storm has come and you're fighting for your life before you decide, you know what, I better find out what God says about healing. Learn about these things now, hey? Remember, let me remind you what I said last week. These messages, any message that you hear, not just these, but these messages need to turn from a message that you've heard into your revelation. And that's to do with anything. Whatever you're seeking God about, if you hear a great, you know, you hear Keith Moore or Kenneth Copeland or Joyce Meyer, if you just hear that message and that's all it is a message that you heard Joyce Meyer speak, well, you'll never get it. That's not where you get it. That's just the start. You need to meditate and you allow that thing to sink deep from your head down into your heart until it's no longer the Joyce Meyer said it or Kenneth Copeland that said it, but it's, this is what I believe because I see it in the Word. It has to turn into life for you. And how are you going to do that if you don't open the Word? Isn't it astonishing that some people just don't know, they don't open the Word of God? How's it going to turn into your revelation if you never open the Word? You've got to set some time aside and you've got to build into these things, just like any other athlete would have to do as well. Hallelujah. And so I guess, you know, what I shared last week and what I'm going to share this week, I think it's more geared to those who maybe are in a life-threatening situation or have a condition that they've had for a long time. Maybe you've got some sort of condition that, some health issue. It may not be life-threatening, but you've had it for a long, long time and you've kind of learnt to live with it. These things that I shared last week and this week are geared more towards those, but it'll help anybody. But you'll see what I mean if you hear it. So anyway, so we talked about you need to be fully persuaded that healing is God's will. That's essential, isn't it? How can you get healed from God if you don't know it's His will? If you don't believe that healing is God's will, you won't get healed. I've had a lot of people come to me, particularly when I was a chaplain, and they would say, well, you know, I don't believe that healing is God's will. Well, that's all right. You won't get healed. You don't have to worry. You know, Jesus said it happens according to your faith. And if you're not fully persuaded that healing is God's will, it's just not going to happen. You need to be fully persuaded. It's God's will for you to be healed always. It's God's will for you to be healed instantly. Now, some people get healed gradually, and that's all right. That's a great thing. It's much better than not getting healed. But understand this, His perfect will is for you to be healed instantly. Now, you may not have the faith for that. You know, I've met some people and they can't believe that God will heal except through a doctor. Well, God will just meet you where you're at. If that's all you can believe, He will meet you. And if you can believe God, you will help the surgeons in this situation, then He'll honor that faith. But that's not His perfect will. His perfect will is for you to receive your healing instantly. He just, I mean, you think about it as, you know, those of you who are parents, Would you want your children to be ill for even 1 second? If you knew that they were struggling with some sort of health issue, as a parent, would you want them to continue with that? No way. Well, how much more does your Father in heaven, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? And so we need to be fully persuaded that that's an essential of healing. And here in Psalm 103, it talks about that. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities." Everyone say all. How many iniquities does God forgive? All. And then it says, "Who heals all your diseases." Everyone say all. How many diseases does he heal? All. What does all mean? Everything. I looked it up in the dictionary. It means whole or complete in quantity, whole or complete in extent, whole or complete in duration. He heals all your diseases. I'll never forget Keith Moore sharing a story about a friend of his who decided he was going to do a study on this word all in the Bible and learn what it meant. And so he looked up the Hebrew and he looked up the Greek and he went to the Chaldeans and he went to the root of the word and he did, I don't know how long the study was. I think it was for quite a while, a number of months, possibly even longer than that. And finally he came to Keith this one day and he said, "Keith," he said, "I understand what it means now. That word all in the Bible, I understand." And Keith said, "What does it mean?" And he said, "It means all. It means all. He heals all your diseases." It doesn't say he heals most your diseases. It doesn't say he heals some of your diseases. It doesn't say he heals occasional diseases. He heals all. How much more can you communicate than that? But you've got to be convinced. You've got to be fully persuaded that healing is God's will. And the point that I believe Psalm 103 is trying to make, or one of the points, is if God is willing to forgive all of your iniquities, then he's also willing to heal all your diseases. Because it's the same word, all, that's used in both. How many Christians believe, "Oh yeah, I know God will forgive all of my sin. He will. If I confess my sin, he'll forgive my sin and cleanse me of all unrighteousness." I believe that. But somehow they have a completely different set of rules when it comes to healing. But this is not what the scripture says. The scripture says he forgives all our iniquities and he heals all our diseases. So if he does it all for one, he's going to do it all for that as well. It's got to work in both ways. God wants you well because he loves you. Hey, just as a parent wants their children to do well because they love them, because they're your children. You want them to succeed. And he wants you well because he loves you. You can't earn healing. You don't deserve to be healed. You start getting into that mentality where you've got to try to earn a healing, you will not get healing from God. That's one of the things that God detests, is when somebody is trying out of self-effort to try to earn favor with God. You don't earn favor with God. God just loves you. He wants to heal you. He wants you well and he wants you blessed because of who he is and because he loves you. But you know, it comes out in different ways. I've heard some people come up and say, "Well, you know, I just want to know, how come God didn't heal my grandma? You know, my grandma was just such a godly woman. She went to church all the time. She read her Bible. She would pray regularly. She would have prayer meetings and Bible studies. How come God didn't heal my grandma?" See, that whole question and the way it's couched assumes that healing is something you earn or deserve. Well, it's great grandma went to church, but what has that got to do with healing? And it's great grandma read her Bible, and it's great that she had prayer meetings, but that doesn't qualify you to get more healing from God. God wants to heal you regardless of whether you've read your Bible. God wants to heal you regardless of whether you come to church. God wants to heal you regardless of whether you pay tithes or give tithes. God wants to heal you regardless of any of those things. Now, I'm not saying don't do any of those things, because you're a fool if you don't. It's not going to help God. You know, when you present your tithes or when you read your Bible, it's not God going like, "Oh, wow, now I've got more power. They're reading my word." No. It doesn't help God one little bit, but it helps you. Helps you receive what he set already aside for you. It's all there for you. And the only way you can receive it is by doing the way he set it up. And as you read his word and as you press into him, he gives you revelation, and soon those things are triggered and they're released in your life to work in your life. But you don't do those things to earn the healing. You need to understand that. You need to really know the difference between that. Healing doesn't come in proportion to your holiness. It comes because of what Jesus did on the cross. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Bless Lord. Bless you, Lord. All right, number two, recognize that healing has already been purchased by Jesus for you. Recognize that healing has already, everyone say already. It's already been purchased for you. Have a look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Verse 4, give me an oi when you're there. Isaiah 53 verse 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. This is talking about Jesus, the Messiah. It's actually a prophecy that was yet to be fulfilled. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now there in verse 4, where it says griefs, that literally means sicknesses. If you look that up in the Hebrew, and I encourage you to do it, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it literally means sicknesses. And the word sorrows in verse 4 literally means pains. So that scripture is saying, surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. I remember there was a youth leader I was talking to one time, and you know, it was fun being a chaplain because, like, we saw a number of youth leaders get filled with the Spirit, eh? And from mainstream churches, which is great. And I remember this one particular youth leader who's still a good friend of ours, and she came to me one day and she was on this journey. Like, she was scared of the supernatural. She belonged to a mainstream church, and thinking about supernatural things was a scary thing for her. She liked to have God kind of like in this box, and we just have our service on a Sunday and don't nobody move a muscle. We just do what we need to do and we go home and everything's all right. And to think that God would do something that's kind of out of the ordinary and supernatural was highly alarming for her and uncomfortable. But God just had placed her in chaplaincy, and Phil and I worked with her, and she would hear of different stories that we would share about God's supernatural intervention. So it began to cause her to be thirsty for these things. I remember this one time I had this conversation with her, and she said, how do you know that it's God's will for everyone to be healed? She said, how can you say that? She said, you know, like, I don't understand that. And so I took her to Psalm 103, what we just looked at. And I said, do you believe it's God's will for everyone to be forgiven of sin? She said, yep. And I said, that's right, that's what Psalm 103 says. He forgives all your iniquity. And I said, well, if you believe that, then you have to believe the next line. He heals all your diseases. If he forgives all your iniquities, then he has to heal all your diseases, if that's the word of God. And then I took her here to Isaiah 53. And here, you know, it says, even in verse 5, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. That's our sin. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Isn't it interesting in these verses that we've looked at, it talks about sin and sickness in the same verse. And it talks about God looking after both of them. So if you believe God forgives sin, you have to believe that God heals diseases. It's got very quiet in this Presbyterian church. You have to believe that. You've got to put your brain in the shelf to not believe that. Here's the point. The healing has already been purchased. Notice it says that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's something he already did on the cross. That means he already secured healing for you and I, the same way as he secured forgiveness for you and I. Do you know sin is no longer an issue with God? There are so many Christians who battle with this sin consciousness, battling with, oh, this area, if I could just get victory over this area, I'm letting God down. Sin is no longer an issue with God. It was taken care of 2,000 years ago. When you sin, Jesus doesn't go and nail himself to a cross again. He died once for all, the Bible says. That means every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit has already been taken care of. It's no longer an issue. The issue that God is looking at is, do you trust me? Will you trust me? That is the key issue, and it's right through the scriptures. It says, knowing that we have been made right by faith. It says a man is not made right by doing good, but by faith in Christ Jesus. There's so many scriptures. That's in Galatians 2, verse 16, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. There's so many scriptures on that. The point that I want to make is that healing has already been purchased for us by Jesus. You are not trying to get healing. You know, when you're sick, you're not trying to get healing. You might be sitting there thinking, well, you could have fooled me. If I'm sick, I'm trying to get healed. No, you've got to change the way you think. It's already been purchased. It's already been given. Don't try to get something you've already got. It makes no sense. You know, when I buy Joy a handbag, she doesn't come to me and say, can I have the handbag? If I've already given it to her, I've bought it and I've given it to her, she doesn't come, can I have the handbag? What am I going to say to that? Can I have my handbag? It's in your hand. Yeah, but can I have the handbag? Yeah, there's so many Christians who are asking God, God, please heal me. God, please provide for me. And he's already done it. He's already done it. It's already been taken care of. Now, this is something that you can only get by revelation. This is so important, hey. It is much easier to have something that you've got than try to get something you don't. And you've already got it. You already have it. It's already been done. These scriptures we're looking at already say that he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his wounds you were healed. I tell you, I don't have to convince Joy that the handbag's hers. The moment I give it, that's it. It's hers. Hey, and don't you ever try to challenge it. I've tried. Well, actually, not that I want her handbag, but there have been times where she's been, I've got my own handbag, that's right. But there's been times where she's been snoozing, and I'll go, because I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to wake her up. I'll just get the keys out of her bag, and I'll just go up the street and get something. And so she'll be sleeping. Hey, I go within a certain radius. Hey, there's like, must be motion sensors or something. I go within a certain radius. She goes, what are you doing? I was just trying to get the keys out of your bag. Don't touch my bag. She knows it's hers. She's not trying to get it. She's already got it. Why are you trying to get what you've already been given? You've already been given healing. You're probably thinking, you know, like if you got a symptom in your body, you're probably thinking, well, I don't feel like I got it. You're looking in the wrong place. The healing's not in your body. The healing's in the spirit. And all you've got, it's been given to you. All you've got to do is just make it manifest. Just make it manifest. And it's not that hard. Jesus said you just need faith as much as a mustard seed. I'm getting off the topic, hey? You know, look, so many people are wanting, like, I wish I had more faith. You know, if I could. Jesus never, ever talked about having more faith. The only people that ever talked about having more faith was the disciples. And only once they said, Lord, increase our faith. And it wasn't after he did some miracle. You can read it yourself. The one time the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith, wasn't because they saw him raise someone from the dead and they thought, man, Lord, increase our faith. We want to see that. No. The only time they ever asked Jesus to increase their faith was when he was talking to them about walking in love towards others. And what he said just sounded so difficult to do. They said, Lord, increase our faith. How are we going to love these people? We hate their guts. The essentials of healing. Number three, spend time with God. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's have a look. So we talked about being fully persuaded that it's God's will for you to be healed. We've talked about recognizing that healing's already been purchased. I would encourage you, if you don't get that, then get the CD and listen to it and look up some of these scriptures and meditate. Let this burst in your heart as a revelation. Hey, you've already got it. You already have healing. You're not trying to get it. All you've got to do is just make it manifest in your body. And that's not a difficult thing to do. Hebrews 4. Give me an oil over there. Verse 14. Seeing then we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Spend time with God. This is an essential. If you have a long-term condition, you have a life-threatening situation, spend time with God. Come boldly to the throne where you will receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. God does not want you sick, and He will show you the path. But it's not going to happen unless you make some time. Set some time aside. God wants to show you. When Micah was sharing about his knee and how that erupted into an infection, and God showed him. Notice, God didn't just show him the healing. God showed him the cause. That's a wonderful thing, hey. You know, some people, they're wanting God to heal, and God will heal, but if you don't get it at the root, that sickness will manifest again. Sometimes the sickness is just a symptom of something deeper. And if you don't fix what's deeper, then it'll just erupt in another way. It'll manifest in another way. I remember even when Joy wasn't well, that was one of the things that he dealt with her. As we spent time with God, He was showing her and He was showing me the things that in our lives that we had opened up a door for the enemy to come in. So not only is she going to be healed back then, but we were going to be able to close that door so the snake couldn't get in again. Hey, you want to kill the snake, but you want to shut the gate as well. Spend time with God. Do whatever He tells you. Don't be selective in your obedience. Hey, He'll show you how to proceed with it. You know, look, with small ailments, look, it's a great thing to spend time with God. I'm not trying to say don't ever spend time with God, but I guess this is not as crucial. You know, if you've just got like a minor flu, or a cold, or a flu, or something like that, you can just use. I found in my experience, I could use the general promises of God. And just put them to work, and that thing just goes. It's easy, hey. But if you've got something that's fairly major, or something that's just not moving, you want to be spending time with God and seeking Him. Hey. Now, even if you don't, you want to be spending time with God. Now, He's got the answers to everything. Like, why wouldn't you want it? I remember when, as a youngster, when I was playing tennis, I mean, the stars back then were Bjorn Borg and Vitas Gerulaitis and all these people, yeah. All the long-haired mullets and... And like, man, you know, like if somebody came up to me and they said, you've got an opportunity to get some individual coaching with Vitas Gerulaitis, are you interested? I'd be drooling. I'd be thinking, you bet I would want to get some coaching with Vitas. Why? Because he's just so accomplished in that area of tennis. I would want to learn from him. That would be awesome. Well, here you've got the person who is the author of life. And he's saying, come and spend time with me. I got the keys to everything. Why wouldn't you want to spend time with God? So I would encourage you, spend time with God. Number four, allow the promises of God to take root in your life. Allow God's promises to take root in your life. You know, Jesus talked about the sower sows what? The word. You got to sow the word. You got to open up your Bible. You got to read those promises and allow them to take root. A big, big mistake that we were making. I remember when we first, you know, like it's, you know, fear can get in. Hey, you can start to panic. Hey, especially when someone who's very important to you, you can see them literally dying before your eyes. And I could see Joy. She was literally dying in the natural. And you know, the temptation to be scared, the temptation to worry and get anxious was huge. And I knew that confessing the word was important. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So I just got all these promises of God. Man, I was just like a minigun, or like dual-wielding miniguns. I was just like, every promise, I was just going like day and night, you know, like I couldn't confess anymore, you know, like my confessor was wearing out. It was just like, I was just confessing the word as much as I could. And it just seemed like the more I did it, well, it seemed like the worse that she was getting and the more panicked I was getting. Man, I did this for about a month and a half and I was getting more and more anxious about this. I'm going, God, maybe I need to increase my confession. I don't know how I could do that. I feel like I'm doing it like 15, 16 hours a day already. And God gave us our first major, major revelation on that path to healing. And he actually said, stop. And he said, slow down. And he said, consider my word. And so we stopped and we slowed down. And instead of rattling off like 900 verses that I'd found in the scriptures about healing, I just got one verse. And Joy just got one verse. And we just started to ponder that and go over it slowly. He heals all of our diseases. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. You heal all of our diseases. You heal. That's what you do. That's who you are. And I can bless you because you heal. And we just started to slow it down and started to consider what that was saying and started to imagine that working. And then soon that fear and that anxiety started to evaporate and a confidence began to grow. An assurance. Now, she was still looking worse and worse. She was still, in the natural, getting worse and worse. Yet there was a confidence that was growing. And it wasn't because I was confessing the word more. I was confessing the word less, really. But I was meditating what I was confessing. I was pondering it. I was allowing the word of God to take root. And once something takes root, it begins. Once it grows down, then it grows up, doesn't it? Hey. When you allow the word of God to grow down into your heart, then it starts to grow up and produce fruit. And that's what happened. Over the next few months, she was getting steadily worse. We couldn't see any change. Well, we could see change, but it was all in the wrong direction. But the confidence, we didn't understand that. Our minds didn't understand that. There was a confidence here. We weren't intimidated by this. We just knew. We couldn't tell anybody else. In fact, we tried to tell people. You know, they go, you know, people come up to me, they go, what's wrong with Joy? And I go, look, in the natural it looks bad, but God's given us an assurance that she's going to be fine, that everything is good. And they'd look at me and they go, yeah, amen. Well, that amen was so hearty, eh? Man, even preachers, even ministers. Oh, some of the things that they would say. One guy came up to me and he said, man, what's wrong with Joy? This is a guy who stood with me and prayed with me early days of ministry. And I said, look, I said, there's some health issues there. I said, but God has given us his word that she'll not die, she'll live, and she'll be fine. And he goes, oh, mate, he goes, I thought I had problems. He said, I'm glad I'm not you. This was a minister of the gospel. Thanks, buddy. I feel great now. Allow God's promises to take root. You know, by the time those people were saying things like that, it was just like water off a duck's back. Sure, I was disappointed that they weren't standing with us, but I tell you what, I didn't need what they were saying, and I didn't care even if they said that, because I already had the Master's word. And he'd already said that she's going to be fine, and that confidence. How do you know when the word's taking root? Fear begins to evaporate. Confidence begins to grow. There's a peace that begins to just dwell in your heart. It's just like you can't explain it to anybody else. They'll look at you and they'll think, you're crazy. You're weird. Don't you see? They'll actually think, man, you need to go see a doctor or something. You're just off the planet. You are just not connected to reality. They'll think things like that. But there's a confidence that grows, eh? When you allow the word of God to take root. Man, this works in so many areas, eh? Man, there's been times I've made declarations and everybody's looked at me thinking, you're an idiot. That's never going to happen. And it always comes to us. If it's what God has said to you and you allow it to take root, you'll be able to make the declaration and see it come to pass, eh? My final point, the essentials of healing. Speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Mark chapter 11. You don't ask or beg God to do something. Why would you do that if he's already given it? You speak to the mountain. Mark chapter 11. We know the story of the fig tree, but I want you to notice, you know, when he saw that the fig tree didn't have any fruit on it, in verse 14, notice it says, in response, everyone say response. In response, Jesus said to it, Jesus responded. Do you know your circumstances talk to you all the time? Your circumstances will talk, particularly if they're negative circumstances. They'll be talking to you saying, you don't have enough money. That's never going to happen. It's not going. The pain's getting bigger. Or whatever it is, your circumstances will talk. And this fig tree was talking to Jesus. And the scripture says, in response. So if you can't respond to something unless there's been some sort of something that you've received first. Something happened where Jesus came to this fig tree and it said to him, I got nothing for you. And in response, Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Notice he didn't say, oh God, please, if it be thy will, let this fig tree die. He just spoke to the fig tree. You speak to the mountain. He goes on in verse 23 and he says, assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. You have to speak to the mountain. Jesus demonstrated this throughout his ministry. There was not a single time where he asked God to heal anyone. Not a single time. I wonder if there's a pattern here. I wonder if there's a model that we need to model ourselves on. Why are Christians asking God to heal them when he's already given healing? You've got to speak to the mountain. You've already got the healing. So you speak to that condition and say, I curse you in the name of Jesus. You don't belong on my body. Get off. And you speak to it. You command it to wither up and die. You command it to be gone. You talk back to your circumstances. Hey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a great story. I'll finish with this. Andrew Warmick shares a great story of a lady who had a terrible, terrible condition. In fact, she'd been diagnosed, I can't remember what this, I think it was fibromyalgia or something. It was incurable. The doctor said it was incurable. They actually tested her, and on a scale of 1 to 10, this is what the doctors had diagnosed, that her pain level was 11 on a scale of 1 to 10. And they just said, it's off the scale. And so they were giving her huge amounts of painkiller just to cope. And there's nothing they could do for her. And she was a Presbyterian lady. She believed in God. She didn't understand anything about healing. And Andrew sat with her and began to share with her about how healing is a done deal. It's already been provided. And then, he spent about half an hour and he shared with her and her faith had been built up. And he said, now, he said, let's get rid of this thing. And she said, yeah. Her faith was ready. She was ready to receive. And so he commanded this thing to be gone in the name of Jesus. And instantly the pain went. And she was healed. She said, I feel amazing. She said, I feel so good. I've never felt like this in years. And then she looked at Andrew and she said, but I still feel burning. And Andrew said, well, you didn't tell me anything about burning. You told me about pain. And she said, yeah, but I've got this burning as well. And he said, well, you didn't tell me about the burning. He said, watch this. So he put his hand on her and he said, burning in the name of Jesus, get off. And instantly that burning, she goes, it's gone. Anyway, so they sat and had a cup of tea and he just kind of built her up in the word and he said, now you need to understand, the devil will try sometimes to come back and bring that condition back on you and you stand in what you've already been given. And so he was just arming her and stuff. And as they're having a cup of tea, she said, that burning's coming back. And he goes, well, you know what to do. And she goes, yeah, I do. And he says, well, do it. She goes, well, I'll do it now. And he goes, yeah, do it now. So she goes, Lord, I just thank you that it's your will for me to be healed. And I thank you that your healing is working in me right now. And I thank you that I don't have to have this anymore. Amen. And she said, it's still there. And he said, of course it's still there. You didn't do what I said. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. There's a revelation in this. She said, but what did I do wrong? See, so many Christians are thanking God for it, but they're not speaking to the mountain. She wasn't speaking to the mountain. And he said, I didn't tell you to thank God. I told you to speak to that burning. That's what I did the first place. Now you do it. And she said, oh, of course. And she said, let's do it. And he said, all right, let's do it. She closed her eyes. She said, burning. And then she opened her eyes. She said, it's gone. You speak to the mountain because healing belongs to you. Just like Jono's car belongs to Jono. Healing belongs to you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, your word never fails. We thank you, you watch over your word to perform it. We thank you that we are doers of the word and not just hearers. And all God's saints said, amen. God.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.